Make May your month for big cash winnings at your favorite Washington Gold Casino. Stop by Club Hollywood Casino Shoreline and Royal Casino Everett and see how their guests are winning thousands in cash prizes. So why not make today your day to strike it rich? Washington Gold Casinos. So close, it feels like home.
All right, final hour this morning of Brock and Salk. Good morning. Hope you're having a great day. Nice to wake up, see a little sun this morning, even at 5 o'clock, man.
Right.
Yeah, we're getting a little, starting to get towards spring. Supposed to be nice for the next week or so. I mean, maybe we're finally going to turn the corner here. Hopefully I won't jinx it. All right, so news this morning, Brock, you had it. Everybody yesterday was odd. I kind of was looking all throughout the day, checking the Twitter feed, waiting to see where this would come, and I never saw anything about Earl Thomas. And so I really didn't see much about anybody who was at or not at Seahawks voluntary workouts yesterday.
Mike, because they're voluntary. They're not that big a deal. Yeah.
What We're the only ones who care.
Mean? Why do you guys care about this? Gosh, it's so stupid. You're trying to make them out of nothing. Right? This is, hey, Mike, this is voluntary. Don't you know what voluntary means?
But yeah. I guess I'll just say this one last time on the voluntary thing. Do you praise people who show up?
Are you sure it's one last time?
No, it's not. No. For this minute.
Okay, good.
Do you praise people
be
who
one last time?
Do you praise people who show up? Yes, right? Like, oh, that's so great. They're so dedicated. I praise them for showing up. And if you're willing to praise people for showing up, then don't you want to be able to praise everybody on your team? And if somebody doesn't show up, then they're not worthy of
Lydia,
praise, which to me makes it a problem.
Lydia, help me understand your tweet last night or this morning, whenever it was, about voluntary workouts. And I couldn't tell if you were kind of with us or not with us or just in between.
Oh, yeah, I'm with you.
You are?
I think that it's just when I take a step back and do that sort of bird's eye view of my life, when I was looking around the sports pit yesterday and everyone was like, oh, do you have an update from Earl? Oh, did you check this Instagram? Oh, do you know? Oh, is he there? Is he there? Yeah. I was just kind of like, yeah, wow. Why am I in this weird place where I care if a grown adult shows up for a voluntary day of work? I care.
Yeah.
Because
he's going to be in the Ring of Honor if he continues to be a Seahawk. That's why. And as Dave Wyman, you know, hypothesized, what if he goes to Dallas and plays another 5 or 6 years? I mean, will he be a Seahawk then? Does he really want to go home and finish his career and take off and finish it there in Dallas? And then you add it to Richard, and then you add it to Marshawn, and you add it to Bennett. And really, you know, he's one of the, along with Bobby and Russell, one of the vestiges to the past and just one of the greats in it. So I understand where everybody is so wrapped up in it. What?
You're talking about an identity thing then. You're talking about all these guys that we love, that we attached our first championship to, this identity, that these are our guys, this is our team, and you're looking in the future and saying their legacy is going to be somewhere else, that they're going to write their final chapter and ultimately choose not to take us. And that was the most important time for us.
They could. Yeah, I mean, that's what, you know, these decisions, when I don't think of Michael Bennett's in that case. I think he maybe has a year. I think Cam's a, I don't know, 50-50, 80-20 to retire. Cliff's going to retire. Probably easier to absorb for those guys that are going to retire. And Cam will be in your Ring of Honor as well. But yeah, Earl is right there, man. He's right in the middle of it. And this is a legitimate trade situation. You know, none of us could accept it. We could internally. But none of you, rightfully, emotionally, could connect with Richard Sherman to trade rumors last year. You just didn't want to do it. And I don't blame you. That it just, you know, the whole gang was still together last year. They were going to make another run for it. And yeah, Richard was volatile and everything else, but they'll make it work, right? They'll stick together. They'll make it work. Well, that group's gone. And here sits Earl, that's one of, as I said, one of the last real guys in that crew. He was in the original class. And I think that the Seahawks, at the right number, would sign him back. I do. I think at the right number, the Seahawks would sign him back. But the right number for the Seahawks and the right number for Earl are a long ways away. I think there is quite a chasm. And all you got to do is look back at some of their free agency numbers with different guys. You know, that this is our number. This is where we set it at. And we're not going to really deviate. Do you feel that way? Do you feel like at the right number?
I do. Unless all of this is just posturing by the Seahawks, and at the end of it, they're going to sign Earl to a deal, and this is all just trying to lower the market value and show him that he's not worth what he really thinks he's worth. I mean, I suppose that's the only other possibility here. I think they're going to end up trading him. I mean, I think, you know, I've been sort of around 50-50, and I think that the number's actually probably higher than that now, and I'm just sort of getting to that point where, yeah, I think they're going to trade Earl Thomas in the next 9 days. If they don't, I will assume that one of two things happened. Either A, they just couldn't get enough value and they just couldn't ultimately pull the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
Or B, that this whole thing has been about trying to negotiate with him for his long-term deal, and this is all part of the negotiation. But I want to open it up as well, 206-421-3776. As Earl Thomas doesn't show up yesterday, does it change any of your thoughts on dealing versus signing versus allowing Earl to just play out the last year of this contract? Do you think that 1 year of Earl Thomas is enough, is worth enough to not deal him this offseason? Is 1 year of Earl enough? And by the way, 1 year of angry Earl. 1 year of Earl that doesn't show up here, according to Clayton, would probably not show up to mandatory minicamp, and then it's anybody's guess what happens once you get to training camp,
right,
and maybe even the regular season at that point. And in my view, this is a no-brainer. That's not worth that much to me.
See, there's no way I can ever get to that place. I can't get to a no-brainer, Mike. And maybe I'm overthinking this.
1 year of somebody is not worth it to me.
I'm probably over-analytical and overthinking this. But I'm trying to, like, what is the end game here with Earl? Like, what is a good – we're going to get to Ichiro maybe at 9:30 and the decision that's still looming and they've got to make on their roster at 9:30. But what – and we talked a lot about that move and that end game. What is the end game with Earl here? What do you – what is you sit and you forecast it out – you can see that it's a no-brainer to you? Because I see it going like 50 different ways, like he does as a football player, and just screaming and yelling in any direction.
The only time it becomes a no-brainer is if you tell me, is it 1 year of Earl this upcoming year versus a bunch of draft picks? That, to me, is a no-brainer. I'll take the picks and everything they bring. Now, I don't know whether – what keeps it from being an actual no-brainer is knowing whether or not it's really 1 year of Earl, or can you find a way to get a deal done? Yep. Can you franchise him? I don't know all those eventualities. But if you're giving me a one-to-one choice of 2018 season with Earl Thomas versus everything you could get in a trade, I'm taking the trade.
Yeah.
The trade is more valuable
even if it's a third and a fourth.
I don't know everything. You got to give me the details. But probably starting with a second-round pick, and if you can get a first, then definitely.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that the 1 year of Earl doesn't have all that much value. 206-421-3776, if we can get you guys on the horn. Maybe Brock can formulate an answer. Let's grab Hunter in Puyallup. Good morning, Hunter.
Good morning. Yeah, I think it's really simple. I think we should trade him. If he's going to be a Seahawk for this season, we're going to get absolutely nothing for him after this next season if he decides to walk. Just like Richard Sherman, we got nothing for Richard Sherman. So I say if we get a second and a fourth or a second and a fifth, trade him, no brainer. That's how I see it.
Yeah, I guess, Hunter, the only thing there technically is you would get a compensatory pick in 2020.
Maybe, but you see the way these compensatory picks work. They're not one-to-one. It just doesn't. It's not as simple as that. I mean, we thought, Brock, and this is shame on me, and I didn't do enough research on this, and hopefully I make that mistake, I'll own it. I thought that Sheldon Richardson would equate a fourth-round pick when he left.
Yep.
And that's just not the way the system works with balancing out the numbers in, the numbers out, roughly what they get paid. And at the end of it, Sheldon Richardson was worth nothing. He was worth balancing off somebody else that they ended up signing who's not even as good as him.
Yep.
I'm not buying that argument again. Fool me once, shame on me. I'm not getting fooled again. No way.
Yeah, if you tell me, and this is where those guys in that room have spent a ton of time, and as they bounce around and they know everything about it, if you were to tell me, hey, listen, why are you so perplexed or so bothered by the end game? The end game is not good. That it's not going to work out well. That the end game is there is no way we will meet Earl's demands financially. There's just no way we can do that. We're not going to pay that guy. We learned our lesson a little bit on Cam and on Bennett and the aging process. And he's been, nicked up a little bit the last few years. And we're just not going to give him $14 million a year. That's not going to happen. Well, if that's not going to happen, then you have to trade him. Then yes, then you have to just continue to leverage over the next 9 days as best you can. You got to hope that the market really turns in a favorable way on draft day, right? That things work out, and whether it's receivers getting picked or their guy that they want to receive or yada, 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 any iterations there too.
Yeah.
So if you were to tell me that end game, that we are just not going to make a financial commitment, then yes, you have got to do all you can to get what you can on the market.
So are we being nuts? I mean, is there a group out there listening to this and saying, Earl Thomas is one of the best players in the league. What are you talking about? How could you ever allow that guy to get away? You do everything in your power to make sure he's here, even if you have to overpay for him long term. I'd like to hear from that group as well. 206-421-3776.
One other tiny little nugget. So he misses yesterday and the rest were there. These first 2 weeks are running and lifting.
When you say the rest were there, you mean the other leaders on the
team?
Yeah,
Doug and Bobby and the rest of them. Obviously, Russ. Coleman and Russ was on. Yes, Russ was absolutely there. And we'll talk to Jake Heaps about some of this tomorrow at 8 a.m. when he jumps on the show with us. So these first 2 weeks are running and lifting. And then the draft's going to happen, right, in 9 days. And after that draft, that Monday, they get 3 weeks where they do stuff with the ball, right, where they do get to participate for 3 weeks. And then it's only 10 minicamp practices, and that's it, or OTA, whatever you want to call it. But 10 actual practices that look the way they look in August. And then that is it. June 12th, they are done. It's over. The hay is in the barn. And if he's going to be a non-participant and makes that clear, I will not be there for any of it. And then you're going to see me in training camp. That, too, is not healthy.
All right, let me dig in. We got a ton of people on the phones. I want to run through some of your calls. 206-421-3776. Brock breaking the news this morning that Earl Thomas did not show yesterday, did not report for a voluntary off-season workout. Jacob is in Seattle. Jacob, what does that do to your thought process here?
Well, I'm a little bit of an odd duck, Seattleite. I don't attach myself emotionally to nostalgia of having players, and right now with all the other guys already gone, it's obvious that they're needing to replenish the defense. They've got to trade him. They've got to get some second and third round picks. I don't care if they get just a second and third round for him, and I'd like him to be as high as possible, but I don't want them to fall into the Mariners sort of thinking that they've got to keep a guy around, because if they don't, then nobody's going to know who's playing. Then your average casual fan might not show up. That's not going to happen with the Seahawks. No. They're going to show up no matter what, no matter who you suit up. They got to get some draft picks and replenish the defense.
Yeah, I appreciate the phone call. Do you care at all? One of the other rumblings yesterday is that Cleveland may be interested with all of their draft capital. Would you care at all? Would you look out for the goodwill of Earl Thomas and say, you know, Dallas, Cleveland, what is Earl?
No.
Not even for
not for a millisecond. What's smaller than a millisecond? Whatever the smallest
nanosecond.
Not even for a nanosecond.
Yeah.
That will never cross my mind. No.
Yeah.
That's a no.
I would tend to agree.
That's
with that.
An NO. No, G-O. Thank you. You're telling me Cleveland's offering a better package than Dallas? Yeah. Have fun in Cleveland. Nothing personal. Not angry at you. It's just the best deal that we can
possibly. Any of the Bobby Earl stuff last year play into this at all to you?
A little bit, yeah. If you're elevating Bobby Wagner, who sure looked to be like the leader of this defense last year, and you're elevating Russell Wilson, and those seem to be the two guys mm-hmm. you want to make the captains of this group and the leaders moving forward, yes. In a world where Cam Chancellor was expected to be, along with Cliff Averill, two of the major leaders on this team, yeah. and neither of them are likely to play this year, absolutely that plays a role for me. 206-421-3776. Let's grab Dan, who's in Woodinville on a completely different side of this. Dan, go ahead.
Hey, hold on a second. I called in to say I'd trade him,
oh.
and then I hung up.
Oh.
And then you said you wanted to hear from someone on the other side.
Oh, okay.
So the contrarian in me is now calling back.
All right.
Oh, wow.
So this isn't really your view. This is just the contrarian in you?
I believe it now that I said it. You can make it.
Why didn't you change your name when you called in?
Oh, because I'd like to argue with myself. Just like talk. If no one's around, I can keep myself busy for hours.
I can understand that. Dan, you and I should be friends. Let's go do some wine tasting in Woodinville together.
Done. Easy. So here's the deal. Pete Carroll always wants to win the battle of explosive plays. And when we were at our best in 2012 and 2013, man, we were picking off, it seemed like, every ball thrown 15 yards or further, whether it was Earl or Richard. And so if we want to have the best shot going ahead in games where we're probably going to be winning by 3 or 4 points anyway, you want the eraser out there at any cost to make sure that you can erase as many explosive plays as possible.
All right, so you say then sign him long-term to an extension, to whatever it takes.
No, I say trade him for a 2 or 5.
Appreciate the phone call, Dan. Enjoy it. That's a really good call. Thanks for that.
Yeah, I mean, there's one aspect of it that if I were to argue on that side of it, I would say, hey, listen, man, yeah, you're turning this thing, but for the next couple years, make it a 3-year deal. Okay, make it a 3. You can manipulate this cap any way you want and make it a 3-year deal, of which he plays 2, and he will make it a whole lot easier for Shaq. And he'll make it easier for Justin. And yep. he will make it easier for maybe this first-round corner, second-round corner you draft here as well. That he makes that, speaking of those explosive plays, why? Why they lead the league in that? Because you're not throwing post or go routes. So you're eliminating those kind of shot plays against you, and you saw that even a year ago.
Yeah, but we also saw them function better last year without Earl than they had the year before. I mean, 2 years ago when they lost Earl Thomas and what was his name, Terrell, Stephen Terrell was your only option. to play free safety was a disaster. Yep. They had a below average free safety, and they were unable to compete and run the Seahawks defense. And even despite all that, they managed to win a playoff game and then lose to Atlanta. Right? I mean, even despite all of that, they were still successful. Yeah. You're telling me that we saw them last year. We saw them without Earl last year, Brock.
Yep.
It was not a disaster.
No.
They're better with Earl. There's no doubt about it. He's one of the better players in the game. They survived just fine without him last year because Bradley McDougal's a real player. He's not Stephen Terrell. He's a real player, can go out there and play free safety and not embarrass you and actually make some plays now.
It's really easy to say, I don't know. I can't get into Earl's head. I can't. But this is our job, is to infer a little bit. And I don't know why, and maybe this is wholly unfair, but there's just a part of me that also would love to sit with Earl and say, what do you want?
Well, that's exactly what Robert and Kennewick wanted to ask. Robert, go ahead.
Yeah, the question we're not asking is, does Earl want to play in Seattle? Does he want to finish his career here?
Yep.
Why does it matter, just so you know?
Why does it matter?
Yeah.
Because I'd like to see where his heart is. I know there's been a lot of change, and probably a lot of change in the scheme and the defense.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say personally, if he doesn't want to play there, trade him for the best value you can get.
Yeah,
and that would check well.
Appreciate it. Yeah, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it.
Love the Tri-Cities. Right. Thank you. Keep on listening. I would say it matters for Earl because his headspace, as much as any player on this team, and having to be in the right spot matters. And Earl's pretty clear at the Pro Bowl about that.
I know me, so I won't allow myself to even, you know, go out there and, you know, just risk it all, you know, just if they're not, you know, having faith in me and a long-term deal. I just got to protect myself at the end of the day, me and my family. That's the first thing. Like I said, I don't feel comfortable just going out there without signing a long-term deal.
And he has a quiet, I mean, the one thing that's about Earl, when you talk to people around that team and teammates and everything, he's a quiet dude. A couple of the practices I got to be a little more privy to as I was doing the radio broadcast, it struck me that he is not like this vocal guy. I think G. Scott alluded to that for years, that you kind of elevate him in that spot. That's not him, man. He is not necessarily aloof, but he is so unbelievably intense and in his own space. And Robert in the Tri-Cities, I'm kind of with you. Like, it'd be critically important to sit down and say, the loss of Richard and Cam and these guys and all of those folks being out, does it matter to you? Are you willing to relinquish even more to Bobby, that this becomes Bobby's team in the middle?
Yes.
You know, all of those things. Do you really want to go to Dallas? I mean, you want to end your career in Dallas to bring me home when that day comes. Do you really want to do that and not be a part of this thing? And if the answers to a lot of those are yes and yes, you know, then I do need to find a way to get a trade value.
Yeah, I apologize. I thought you meant do we as a group. You mean, does Earl?
Yes.
Is Earl willing to relinquish to Bobby? Yeah, it's a really interesting question. Robert's in Seattle. Good morning, Robert.
Hey, this is Robert. Hey, Brock, how you doing? Hey, Saul, how you doing?
So, man.
Hey, listen, man, I think that you got to keep Earl. But I like that preliminary talk concerning where his heart at. You've got to do that in any work. There's got to be a foundation to what you're going to build.
Well, does not showing up for these workouts help tell you where his heart is at?
I hate to say yes. I hate to believe that, but I have to lean in that direction, particularly when he said that he couldn't take a chance going out there without a long-term deal. I would ask, what is a long-term deal?
Let's say it's 5 years. It's 5 years. I mean, Robert, what ultimately, when you look at all the evidence you got, what do you want to do?
If it's a 5-year deal and he's not intent on negotiating that timeline, I think you cannot sign him for a long-term deal for 5 years. He may not play another two. You don't know. He's had a lot of injuries lately, and he's getting older.
I appreciate the phone call, Robert. I just, you know, I go back to when this thing started to turn just a little bit as well. Mm. And it was really Marshawn was the first, like, this offseason stuff. Whatever, Pete, you know, that's great, but I'm going to do what I want to do. Okay, all right. Well, one guy can do it. But then when other guys start talking, oh, Michael, I don't need this stuff. I got so much other. I'm good, man. I'm good with it. Trust me, we'll get to game day, be fine. And, you know, if Earl's going to do that, you won't see him until training camp. Right, you won't have seen him since January 1st. So all this new blood, all these new pieces, all these new faces, the Ed Dixons and everybody else that you brought in here, and this turning and getting back to the hyper-competitive nature of what the whole program is built on. But you know what, Earl, we'll let Earl just do Earl. He'll be just fine.
It doesn't work in the same way.
Gosh, it's just
look, you and I see this, I think, dead on the same. But I go back to this, and maybe this will ring true. I'm keep looking for that thing that will ring true to people and kind of make them, I don't know, see it my way. See it the correct way. Think about how you felt in 2012, 13, 14, when the Seahawks were at their ultra most competitive, didn't you feel like you knew a secret that nobody else knew? I did for a little while. Like when they were starting to get good, especially in 2012, heading into that year, and then in 2013, you kind of have a feeling like, look, I know something that the rest of the world doesn't fully know. I know how good this team is. I know the talent they've assembled, even though nobody in the national media knew it yet. And I see how hard they're getting after it, and I see the level of competition and the way they've all bought in and the way they're fighting with each other in all the right ways, you know what I mean? All the things that we could see behind the scenes, and all of us in Seattle saw, because we were talking about it nonstop, and we were ready for what happened in 2012, 13, and 14.
Oh, you want to bring it on,
we were
Brad
ready for
Weinstein?
It.
Let's go.
We were ready for all of that. This is not that. If you are sitting here defending guys not showing up for off-season workouts, you are not in the same headspace as you were a few years ago when you knew a secret that nobody else knew. And you can deny it all you want, and you can say that it doesn't matter, and you can try to convince me, you, and everyone else that that's the case. But deep in your heart, I know, and I don't mean to speak for you, all of you, deep in your heart,
just some of you,
I think you really know that it's not the same. It's not the same when people don't show up for those things. You don't feel like you have a secret weapon, which is exactly how you felt a couple years ago.
It can't be the most important thing to you.
That's right.
You just can't say that.
Because something else is more important.
Yes. It's your contract.
Something else is more important to you right now.
In this case, good for him. It's a business. And he just watched all his buddies go. It's a business.
That's fine.
So you know what's right for me? Get in mind right now.
You don't have to blame him and be mad at him.
Nope.
You just have to know that it's not as ideal for your franchise. And you got into this to root for the Seahawks, not to root for Earl Thomas, Michael Bennett, Richard Sherman, or any other individual player, for the most part. You got into it to root for the Seahawks. What's best for the Seahawks is every guy in that building showing up together and pulling together for one common good.
And it's the most important thing to me. Not me. It's the most important thing to us.
206-421-3776. Phone line's full. We'll keep taking your calls next on Brock and Salk.
Heritage Distilling's BSB Lounge at the ballpark. Award-winning spirits, including BSB and BSB 103. Brown sugar bourbon at 103 proof. Throw your tongue the heater. You can't spell baseball without the BSB Lounge. Heritage Distilling Company, proud sponsor of your Seattle Mariners.
We got about 10 minutes here. I'm trying to bang through as many of these phone calls as possible. Earl Thomas not there yesterday for voluntary workouts. Brock had that report early this morning after no one had it yesterday. Shocked that it didn't come out, but eventually, it does. What are you looking at? You looking at my phone? Whoa, you just stealing my phone?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see where
mine
was.
Are you trying to get the karaoke out of my phone?
Yes.
Is that what you're doing over there? What's the matter with you? 206-421-3776. Let's get back to you guys. How does this change your thought process? Nico is in Linwood. What's up, Nico?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
Up in Linwood, always up to no good. Bring it.
You already know, man. Hey, I just want to say, man, first it was Earl's injury. Once you saw that injury, like his first injury, you could tell his heart wasn't in the game anymore.
Mm.
And, like, it was kind of a struggle to get him back to practice even last season, you know? Like, he wasn't his true self.
Yeah, it's kind of hard for me because you didn't see that on the field, though, Nico, right? I mean, you didn't see – you're talking about the broken leg and the thought of retirement and everything else. But did you – when you watched him play last year, you didn't see any less passion, did you?
Yeah, man. Oh, definitely. He wasn't as aggressive. Like, you could tell he definitely was, like, targeting his hits a little smarter, but he wasn't laying it on him like how Cam did Vernon, you know? Like,
well, I don't know that Earl is fully capable of hitting anybody the way Cam did.
He sawed people in half. We can agree to disagree on that, Nico. Thank you.
Let's be clear. Comparing it to, like, one of the greatest hits you've ever seen maybe isn't fair, but I would disagree with that in general. I don't think I saw any less passion. I don't know how I would judge that.
Now, I would say this, and Wyman and I are going to talk about this at some point, I'm sure before the draft or around the trade. You know, Wyman points to the game started, which is unbelievable. It is off the charts. I'll lean a little with Nico that when you actually go back, as I did, and look at all the practice reports last year, it was amazing. Mm. I mean, it was heel, it was calf, it was knee, it was hamstring. You know, it was a lot of things that, you know, you break a leg, all those other parts got to work together, right? And that's now 3 years where he's had some level of significant injury, and moving forward, Nico, I'm with you. There would be some level of concern.
Right, do you want a call that I think is a really interesting point that sums this up perfectly?
All right.
Or would you like a call from someone that thinks exactly the opposite of how I view life?
Opposite.
You want opposite guy, and
attract.
Then we'll get to Josh?
Opposite.
I'm sorry, Chris?
Yes.
Let's do Willie first, and then we'll get to Chris. Willie, what do you think?
You know what I think? The ultimate goal of every organization is to win a championship. Earl Thomas was a big key to that success, to win that championship. And I don't see the passion that everybody's saying that Earl Thomas lost. When you play this game for that amount of years, you're going to have to protect yourself physically. And I see that in Earl. I see the passion that he has. Mm-hmm. But what I'm not seeing is the passion from the organization to hold Earl to what he needs. And Earl was a big part of this organization. And his success was from the organization, but now I see the organization failing Earl because they're not supporting him. And what I see from you and the organization there on the 17 show in the morning, I see a big untrust that you guys are giving Earl Thomas and the way you guys showed Richard Sherman out of town. And I don't see Earl Thomas losing any type of physical capabilities in this game.
Okay.
I see him mentally growing stronger because he needs the information from the organization to pertain his career here in Seattle.
And what would that be, Willie? What do you think the organization has to do on there? Just pay him what he wants?
No, not pay him what he wants, but pay him what he has done for this organization.
So you want to pay him for what he's done in the past?
Of course. Pay him for what he's done in the past and pay him for what he can do in the future for this team, for his experience, for the way he has conducted himself in this organization. Mm-hmm. Earl Thomas is not a loud talking guy, but you see it on the field. Earl Thomas plays with passion.
Yep.
He will come up and knock you in your face, and that's what we need from this organization.
There are a lot of great parts of Earl, Willie. There's no doubt. He's been one of the greats in Seattle. Did you want to pay Felix Hernandez a few years ago?
Nope.
But he had done great things for them.
But he's not. We're talking about Earl Thomas right now.
And Felix Hernandez is arguably the best pitcher in the history of the organization in his prime.
Okay, look.
Did you want to pay Michael Bennett last year?
No.
Okay.
Michael has reached his potential here in Seattle. But Earl Thomas is still a key factor in this team.
It's a good argument.
Yep.
It's a really good argument. I disagree with you. It's a really good argument. And
I disagree with you too, Zach.
Hold on, though. I'm kind of curious here. Hold on one second. One last thing. Do you think Salk and I played any role in Richard not being around here anymore? Legitimately. Not like with opinion and emotion and everything else. Do you think we played any role at all legitimately in Richard Sherman now being a 49er?
Well, I can't say about you, but I can tell two of the guys on the 3 o'clock show, and that's Dave. Dave dropped his mic 10 times on Richard Sherman.
But that doesn't mean he was able to contribute to Sherman not being here.
Right.
I mean, I think the things that went on behind the scenes had a lot more to do with it.
Yeah.
Willie, you should call the show more often. I'd love to hear from you again. Thank you. 206-421-3776. Look, I don't believe in paying guys for what they've done. I believe in paying guys for what they're going to do. And I think there's some major questions about Earl's health going forward, at least minor ones, if not major ones. And more than anything is the question as to whether or not he wants to be here. And if you can't work out a long-term deal, and this whole argument has to start with that. If you can't work out a long-term deal, then I would trade him right now. The other option to me is to work out a long-term deal and find a way to keep Earl here long-term at a price that fits with what you want to do, but also with what they want to do. But that means he's got to be all in.
Show family meeting real quick before a few more of these calls.
I want to get Chris. He's got an interesting point.
I want a little show family meeting here. That means you, Howdy. I can't see you back there. Is Howdy back there? All right, thumb up. Kyle, Lydia, all of us. Kyle, we'll go in order here.
We'll
Kyle,
here, yeah.
Howdy, Lydia, Salk, me. How many more years does Earl Thomas play in the NFL? How many more years does Earl Thomas play in the NFL?
Earl plays 5 more years in the NFL.
Earl plays 5 more years in the NFL. Kyle?
4 more years.
Okay. Earl plays 4 more years. Lydia?
5.
5 years. Wow. Okay. So the average nearly 5. Salk? How many more years does Earl play in the NFL?
Over. 6. 7.
6 or 7. You think he can play another 6 or 7 years?
I don't know that he'll be as good a player, but I think he plays another 6, 7, maybe even 8 years in the NFL. He plays for a while. He's 28. He'll be 29 this year.
Well, then you bump the average to 5, okay? So if he plays 5 more years in the NFL, then you're working out a long-term deal.
I didn't say he's going to be great for 5 more years.
If he plays 5 more years in the NFL.
No, but I don't want 34-year-old. I don't know that I want 34-year-old Earl Thomas, but I do think he'll play for a while.
Then you're working out a long-term deal.
I don't want the guy that's going to be here then.
Okay.
You don't want the last 2 years of Troy Polamalu's career?
I don't.
They weren't the best ever, but yep, they were really good.
Yeah, they were good.
Ed Reed, same thing with Ed Reed late in his career. You know, understanding angles, understanding what he is not, and everything else. Man, I don't know if Earl plays another 5 or 6 years. That just seems like an awful lot to me.
I think he does.
With the frame that was in question, that's already played 8 years in this league and torn up a shoulder and broken a leg and multiple leg injuries last year that he battled through. Another 5 years in this league playing the way that he does with the violence that he does. If he does, then I think you have to have a legitimate conversation about long-term deal.
No, because it's not just that. It's not in a vacuum. It's not just what does Earl do. It's A, if he plays that time, what does he do during that time? It's B, what do you do with the money? Is that the best place to spend it? And C, what could you do with the draft picks that you get back in order to trade him? It's not in a vacuum. Would I like Earl or not like Earl? Of course, I'd like Earl. But it's not like that. It's a lot more to it.
All right, what's Chris got
Chris
to say?
Is in Turlock, California. I don't know where that is, but he's on the phone. Hi, Chris.
Turlock, California is Colin Kaepernick's hometown, man.
Oh, okay. Is that Central Valley?
Central Valley, Modesto area, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
So here's my deal, man. Great segue by Brock, given his kind of opinion on Earl's health. I think the only question when it comes to what to do with Earl is, what do you think the ceiling is for the Hawks this year? And if it's anything below a good shot at a championship, I think you have to trade him.
Because?
Well, if you're not going to win the Super Bowl, then you might. And he's only getting older. He's only going to want more money. You're going to go through all this again next year. You might as well see what you got in Delano Hill and what kind of picks you can get and just start moving forward.
You know what is so challenging about football? Thank you, Chris, for the phone call. What's so challenging about that is baseball, you can really look at this right now. In basketball, you can really do that. In football, I have a very difficult time doing it. I think there's a couple that are awfully, awfully deep. Right, that are deeper than you. I think Philadelphia is a little deeper than you. I think Minnesota in some ways a little bit deeper than you. But, you know, how much deeper, how much better are those teams than you? If you stay remarkably healthy in a league of attrition, if you stay remarkably healthy next season, and Doug and Bobby and Russell and KJ, remarkably healthy, Dwayne Brown, the rest of those pieces, you telling me you don't have enough pieces to make a run into the playoffs where anything happens?
Yeah, I think you do.
Yeah. I think, Chris, that mindset, well, if you can't win a championship, the NBA and baseball, I get it. I get where you're coming from. I put the NFL a whole lot closer to the NHL, where you get in the playoffs, anything happens. Any quarterback gets hot. Any goalie stands on his head and makes a difference. You just got to get into that dance to make it happen. And I think they still have enough frontline players to do so.
A lot of interesting text coming in as well, Brock. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Sign him to a 3-year contract. Well, that's cool if he'll do that. The question is, would Earl actually be willing to sign that? And I don't think anybody thinks he will. Yep. Salt just thinks there's a plethora of Earl Thomas caliber players cycling through the league every few years, shaking my head. Yeah, you're right. It's not easy to find those guys. There's no doubt Earl has been one of the greats.
If they don't get a deal done in 9 or 10 days, and we'll continue this over the next 2 weeks, and they sign an extension, okay, he makes his 8.5 base this year, and it's an extension for 3 years, and they get him a signing bonus.
I'll be okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would too.
I will be not okay with they don't trade him and they don't sign him.
Yes.
That will be, the disaster scenario, is they let it go one more year. He holds out. It ruins. Like, I don't want any part of that. If he's not going to get traded here in the next 9 days, I hope they sign him, and I hope they sign him before training camp actually starts, and this has a chance to become a problem. So, another texter says, people with self-respect feel, if Earl doesn't want to be here, then I don't want him here. People who lack self-respect are like, please don't go, Earl.
Whoa.
Yeah, that is hardcore.
Wow, that is strong.
Eric the old emailer, bearing... cutting right to the core of people's soul.
Okay, we answer your questions next.
Psychologist Eric. All right. Hey, let's just answer your questions in general. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. You guys want to do a little Answer the Question Jerk? Do you want to do a little Answer the Question Jerk today? Let's do it next. I'm Brock and Salk.
Hey, Brock Hewitt here for Toyota Puyallup. You know, when you're shopping for a new vehicle, you want the best value and to be treated fairly. You want confidence that the dealership will be there long after the sale. Well, Toyota Puyallup is Washington's most awarded Toyota dealer for customer satisfaction, and they've been doing it for almost 50 years. Toyota Puyallup has more than 700 new Toyotas for you to choose from and one of the largest selections of Toyota trucks in the Northwest. Plus, they all come with 2 years of complimentary maintenance. So go see Carrie and her team at Toyota Puyallup, putting you first since 1970.
Hey, this is Bob Stelton from the Bob Gross and Tom Show. I want to thank you for listening to the Brock and Salk Show. And you know what would be fantastic is if you checked out the Bob Gross and Tom Show every day from noon to 3. You can stream us live at 710sports.com or on the 710 Sports app or listen on demand.
This is Brock and Salk. Answer the question, jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
That's my question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
All right, let's do it. Let's answer your questions. We do it at the end of every show at 945. You text us, 710-710. Powered by Coors Light, Brock and Salk, and we'll answer.
I like those calls. Willie.
I like Willie, too.
I like Willie.
I want him to call more.
Yeah.
Jerks, what does 7,000 calories even look like? I just can't fathom even Howdy eating that much in a day. Yeah. Was that a day or a meal?
I'm going to guess Howdy. I would put what I ate at Joe Tessa's restaurant against Andy Staples, who's a known eater from Sports Illustrated, when I demolished him and I tossed the plate his way. And he kind of bowed to me and my eating abilities back then. I'm going to guess that what I ate that night was almost double your caloric intake at that breakfast. I mean, it was well over 10,000 calories. I couldn't move when I got back. I didn't eat anything the next day. But I think if we did some math and added up your French toast, the butter, the syrup, the eight pieces of bacon, the omelet that was a meat lover's omelet, the pastries, the juices, the other goodies, like, you said yesterday 3,000? No chance. Way
3,000 is
3,000.
You could hit 3,000, not a problem. Go to McDonald's. 3,000 calories, not an issue.
Now, the two sausage biscuits with the hash brown that you stuff between.
Oh my
them.
Gosh,
that's 1,200 calories.
1,500.
No, more like 800 calories.
All right, let's see.
I love it. Next about question. You, though. I loved it.
Well, we talked about this earlier, jerks. What is the best TV show theme song?
I tell you, an underrated one is Three's Company. That one was in my head for a lot of my life.
Growing Pains up there for me.
Mm-hmm.
Those are good. Growing Pains sort of in a theme. There are a bunch like it, right? Like a lot of those 80s family comedies had similar themes to Growing
Pains. I like
Pains.
Family Matters. That's one of my favorites. Mm. The days go by.
I don't know. I'm partial to Night Court. I've got it here, so I'll play a little bit. Since Harry Anderson passed away yesterday, 65 years old, one of my favorite shows and favorite themes.
Pretty good.
It's just perfect for its time.
I don't know why
too.
I never got into that.
Oh, really?
Show that much.
You didn't like Bolt?
Yeah.
You didn't like Dan?
I liked him. I just didn't love him.
I liked Marky Post tweeting last night or yesterday about just how upset she was about losing her co-star from this. I thought that was nice. Yeah. Something about those 80s casts which seemed like they were like
they kinda,
closer together.
Yeah, they kind of enjoyed working together.
Yeah, it seemed
at least
that
felt that way.
Totally agree.
Maybe they hated each other and they faked it better.
Anyway. R.I.P. Harriet.
Sometimes you gotta go where everybody knows you.
A lot of people say Miami Vice. Yeah, you're probably right. Miami Vice is probably number one. Yeah. Jan Hammer, that's probably number one. Fair point.
The A-Team have a soundtrack?
Fresh Prince, pretty good. There's a lot of great ones, man. There's a lot of great ones. But Night Court would be on my list of ones to talk about. Let's see.
Next question.
Where to go? Jerks. I'm getting married.
Okay.
Do you go with a black or a white Rolls Royce?
What?
That's what it says. Jerks getting married. Do you go with a black or a white Rolls Royce?
What?
I'm guessing happening? For the car driving off from the reception.
Yeah. Or from if your ceremony is not at the same place
right,
as the reception.
That you roll in.
So that's actually what we did.
You think you match that up with the attire? Like is with the dresses and the suits and everything else?
I'll just say this. For at my wedding, we cut every corner. Howdy, you would have been so proud. We had no money. We cut so many corners.
Yes.
For our wedding. I mean, we the way we got the flowers, the way we did everything as cheaply as we could possibly do it. And the one thing I got a free DJ. Yeah, trust me. He was great.
Nice.
The one thing I really, really, really wanted is we spent a little bit of money on getting a Rolls Royce to pick us up at the ceremony afterwards and bring us to the reception. Mm. And it was my personal favorite part of our whole wedding.
That's great. You got to have something for
it
you.
It was so like awesome. I'd always wanted to be in a Rolls Royce my whole life. And I thought it was amazing.
So it's black like a, or white? Which one did you
I think pick? It was silver. It was silver or white.
It was the cheapest of the Rolls Royce.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever the bargain.
It was old. It was like a 60-something
Rolls Royce.
It had
some blemishes. It was
so
a little diminished,
cool.
But it was cool.
Who cares?
It was fine. Don't worry about those. It was awesome.
Next
question. If you came into just loads and loads of dough, would you want to do your wedding over again? It would just spent
renew
to the
your
nines,
vows and just go all in
spent
on
to the nines?
Nope. I wouldn't change one thing about my wedding.
Cool.
Maybe some of the people over there. Other than that,
next question.
No, I wouldn't change anything. You?
You had a great wedding.
Oh, you already spent all that much on your wedding?
Right after the draft.
At the Yacht Club, right? I went to a wedding at the Yacht Club.
So nice.
It was great. Great spot.
Beautiful.
Jerks, what's worse than wearing socks that get wet?
And by the way, it was nothing to do with my draft. My in-laws were unbelievably gracious. Very clear. I'm sorry, what was that?
What is worse than wearing socks that get wet?
Ooh. Underwear that gets super wet.
When does that happen?
Oh, you're sliding on a grassy hill.
When is that a thing?
Oh, sure. You fall down. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, I was yesterday, my socks were soaking wet. It was awful. Yeah. It was such an uncomfortable feeling.
Fishing without rain gear. Everything gets wet. Okay. Oh.
Next question.
Never had wet undies? Why are y'all laughing?
This is gross.
What? You slide in a second in a wiffle ball game? What? Oh, how do you stop it? You Pete Rose head first slide on the wiffle ball field there at Clemson.
You bet I did.
They had a wiffle ball field. I said to Howdy, I said, what would Salk do right now if he looked out to this setting where they try to take care of their players in every way imaginable?
At a $55 million athletic facility built just mostly for the football team.
Yeah, not every way imaginable.
Where those guys all come back. Where they actually don't leave to go pro. Like a lot of them come back because they don't want to leave the environment. Like covered sport court and fire pits and barbecues and wiffle ball fields and everything you could possibly imagine.
I'd have been offended by all of it. Okay. Offended that it was all going to the football team and
ding,
offended
ding,
that
ding,
it wasn't
ding.
Going to the players.
Oh,
all of it bothers me.
Wow. Next question.
Again, why are the five of us? You would not have enjoyed the trip.
It just all would
no
have
hesitation.
Me.
Our second thought after looking around at all of this, the first thought was, this is,
awesome. Is
unprecedented.
Yep.
And our second thought was, Mike would be so offended by everything he sees
that's
here.
True.
So offended.
So appalling. Appalling.
We know you well.
Yep. I don't think I make any secret about it.
No.
Guys, today is
I
National
really loves
Bat
us.
Appreciation Day. Are you afraid of bats?
Don't like bats.
Yeah, it's a flying rodent. Who isn't?
Nasty.
Are there people that aren't afraid of bats?
Eat a lot of bugs. They eat a lot of bugs.
They do.
They say they
yeah,
shouldn't
they
exist. I'm just afraid of them.
Yep.
They're very, very useful camping.
Really?
Oh, yeah, because they keep the mosquitoes away a little bit.
A little bit.
You know how many things Howdy...
Unfortunately, then you have bats.
You know how many things Howdy said to me in our 5 days together? You know where he'll just say something so confident? I'm like, really?
Yeah.
It's like, I think so.
He's like my dad.
I love that.
Except my dad never gives you even the I think so.
Well, I think so.
Oh, yeah, no, it's true. Really? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I love that. Oh, that was such a good time, Howdy.
Ready, shoot, aim, man.
You want to go again on another trip tomorrow? It was on a Wednesday.
Get on a plane. We got to go.
Let's just go.
It's another spring game to do.
Jay Keeps joins us tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. I think we're going to have Greg Bishop in tomorrow. I'm not sure what time. I'm going to talk to him. Thursday, we're at Safeco to talk to Scott Service.
Oh, our first matinee.
Friday, Todd Lewicki will be in studio.
Wow.
Busy week. Great. Don't go anywhere, man. I hope you guys are here every day. I'll be with you guys tomorrow morning. 7 a.m. Until then, hey.
Voluntary, but please be there. Barn.
See you, everybody.
The excitement in Seattle is insane. It's insane.
Get out of the chopper!